know when trouble's gonna come your way, or when God's gonna give or take it away. This life is fleeting, everything's dying, but one day I'll awake.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This broadcast is also produced as a free podcast, which you can find on iTunes or become a subscriber through our website. We'll have more information at the end of the broadcast, but for right now, let's join Pastor Terry as he preaches this insightful message.
Those of you with keen eyes have probably already noticed that I am not my father. Not entirely sure what gave me away, but if I had to hazard a guess, I'd say it's probably something to do with my hairdo. Those of you with a penchant for pattern recognition have probably realized that this is the fourth Sunday and not the fifth. Dad had to be in Indiana this week, so we switched places. He preaches next Sunday, and you get Youth Sunday 1 week early. Congratulations. As I have previously mentioned from this pulpit, my high school kids are always kind of razzing me for my fixation on song lyrics. I would hate to disappoint them today. So I want to lead off by quoting a song at you. OC Supertones, Welcome Home. Well, it's times like these and it's days like this that remind me of living in the wilderness. And you don't know when trouble's going to come your way or when God's going to give or take it away. This life is fleeting. Everything's dying. But one day I'll awake. All my problems and my sin, they won't matter to me then. Son, welcome home. I was listening to iTunes while writing my sermon, and it was amazing to me how well the verses of this particular song matched up with the points of my sermon. So I'm going to come back to it a couple times as we move on. But first, history. The events of the book of Ezra take place somewhere between and around the time period 530 through 400 BC. Jerusalem was conquered by the Babylonians sometime shortly after 600 BC, and as per the prophecies of Jeremiah, after 70 years of captivity in what was no longer Babylon, but now the Persian Empire, they have been released and allowed to return to their homeland. The first wave of Jews have come home to Jerusalem and have, with the king's permission, begun work on rebuilding the temple. Now let's talk for just a minute about the importance of the temple. What started out as the tabernacle under Moses and later became the temple under Solomon, it's not just a place for the children of God to worship. There were many rooms in the temple, and certain people could go certain places, depending on things such as your race, your tribe, your priesthood, your age, so forth and so on. But in the very back, there was a room called the Holy of Holies, or the Most Holy Place, where only one man could enter. And except under extenuating circumstances, he could only enter that once a year. In that room were various artifacts, such as the Ark of the Covenant, but more importantly, therein was said to reside the presence of God. Now, God, of course, can't be contained in one small room, but it does seem by the biblical account that God manifested his presence in that place. And if anybody entered past the veil into the most holy place when they were not permitted, they died. Because man, when in sin, cannot be in the presence of God. To the Jews, the temple was more than a monument. It represented God with them. And for three generations, no Jew has been able to worship God at the temple. So when the foundation of the temple is laid, the people wept with joy. But that joy did not last. The day doesn't guarantee to come again, and life only promises that it will end. And we all got to stand before the Lord one day, and I don't want to die, but I don't want to stay down here. I feel like a stranger, and I know I don't belong. I want to run, and I'll fall down at Jesus' feet and lay, and I can't wait to hear him say, "Son, welcome home." Not everyone was a fan of the Jews returning home. Many of the people who lived in the land, who had been enemies of Israel and Judah, did not necessarily want the city of Jerusalem to return to power. They made trouble. Particularly a group sent to inhabit the land by Ashurbanipal and later Esarhaddon, the kings of Assyria, a group that would later become known as the Samaritans. For 6 years, they hindered the progress of the temple until Cyrus was no longer king. But now that there was a new king, and a king who wasn't going out of his way to show favor to the Jews as Cyrus had done, the enemies of the line of Israel saw their chance. They sent letters to the new king, whose name was Xerxes or Darius, warning him that the city of Jerusalem was known for rebellion, revolt, and sedition. And if you let them build and fortify their city, then they will turn on you. You will no longer be able to control them, and most importantly, you will no longer be able to collect taxes from them. And you know what? It worked amazingly. By order of the new king, all construction in the city, including work on the temple, was brought to a halt. Now, this was not the first time this particular strategy had been used against the Jews. It was for almost identical reasons that Esther had to save the day and that Daniel was nearly defeated by his enemies. And you know what? You move into the New Testament, and what were the accusations brought against the Christians in Rome? The people said they practiced wicked deeds like cannibalism, which they got from communion, you know, the body and blood of Christ. They refused to pay their taxes, which was an outright lie. And they are raising an army. Because the Christians gathered the abandoned children off the street and raised them as their own. Here's what it comes down to. The world does not want you to return to God, and it will do everything in its power to keep you away from him. But in the end, it cannot. Eventually, after a lot of letters back and forth with the king, the truth came out that the Jews did indeed have royal permission to build their city. And Darius' response to the men who stood against Jerusalem is this. Ezra 6, starting at verse 7. Do not interfere with the work of the temple of God. Let the governor of the Jews and the Jewish elders rebuild this house of God on its site. Moreover, I hereby decree what you are to do for these elders of the Jews in the construction of this house of God. Their expenses are to be fully paid out of the royal treasury from the revenues of the Trans-Euphrates, so that the work will not stop. Whatever is needed, young bulls, rams, male lambs for burnt offerings to the God of heaven, and wheat, salt, wine, and olive oil, as requested by the priest in Jerusalem, must be given them daily without fail, so that they may offer sacrifices pleasing to the God of heaven and pray for the well-being of the king and his sons. Furthermore, I decree that if anyone defies this edict, a beam is to be pulled from their house and they are to be impaled upon it. And for this crime, their house is to be made a pile of rubble. May God, who has caused his name to dwell there, overthrow any king or people who lifts a hand to change his decree or destroy the temple in Jerusalem. I, Darius, have decreed it. Let it be carried out with diligence. Very similar to the book of Esther, the plan to stop the Jews backfires magnificently in the face of the enemies of the children of Israel. So, happy ending to a troubled story. But, as everybody knows, a sermon has to have 3 points. So, here's my third. But I'm still here, and I'm tired. Tired of sin and struggling. Tired of almost everything. And sometimes, small and clear, I could swear that I could hear angel voices in my ear saying, "Welcome home." Earlier we read about the joy of the people when the temple foundation was laid. But there was more to that moment. With praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord, "He is good. His love toward Israel endures forever." And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. They were elated that the temple was finally being rebuilt. But the old men, the one who would have been children when the old temple was destroyed, cannot help but remember the grandeur, the magnificence, the glory. And they know that in no way will this new construct ever compare to the original. This is a nearly perfect parallel of why the Bible says that all creation weeps. Man is broken, fallen from grace, and our best attempts to fix ourselves, to emulate the will of God and live righteous lives, are so pitiful that creation itself mourns the greatness of what was and resents the poor shadow of perfection that we try desperately to hold to. Humankind was created in the image of God. And that image was shattered. And I want you to remember this. There are some good things on earth. Everything that God created is good. But every good thing on earth is good only because it is a reflection of the true thing in perfection. And that is why creation weeps, because it remembers that true thing. But like the message of the Old Testament and the prediction of the future, all stories, good and bad, point to one place. The final will of the Father, the incarnation of the Son, the guidance of the Spirit, God in all of his greatest glory, Christ on the cross. I harped on the temple so much earlier for a reason. Among the many things that happened when Jesus died, one was that the hand of God tore apart the veil that separated the most holy place. I know I say this a lot, but it's so amazing that I want to make sure that everybody understands. We are allowed to be in the presence of God. Do you understand how amazing that is? Jesus said of John the Baptist that he was the greatest man ever born. And yet his place will be among the lowest in the kingdom of heaven, because he will not live to receive the Spirit of God as all of those who live under the blood of the Messiah have, the prize so great that we could never earn it, the permission to finally be released from captivity in this world of death, and at the end of that captivity, to hear the words that we all long to hear: "Welcome home."
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast on this station. You can find out more about the church with a quick visit to our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.